Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We're in a new series if you're new to church. We absolutely love having new people, whether you're tuning in online for the first time or whether you're came to the Wonder and you're coming back checking us out. We want you to know we absolutely love having new people. Come on, church, let's welcome anyone. If it's your first, your second, your third time. But we're in a series that Pastor John started from Revelation 21, verse 5. It says, "Behold, I am making all things new." I just feel God wants to do something new in your life. Who's ready for something new tonight? Well, come on, let's tune into heaven. If you feel comfortable, lift up your hands. Father, I want to thank you. You're the God of the new. There is nothing that can possibly stand in the way of your purpose and will for our lives tonight. So we tune in, we willingly receive, we take hold by faith everything that you have for us. We're nothing without you. We need you, we acknowledge you, we honor you. And say, "Speak, Lord, we're listening." In Jesus' name, and everyone said a faith-filled amen. Amen. Give someone a big slap and grab your seats. Thank you so much, team. So good to see you all. On October the 29th of last year, Justice Murray Norman turned 5. What a legend he is. And John and Chantel asked Justice what he wants for his birthday party. And Justice says he wants Steve Morstan to dress up as Jesus and come to his party. Now, when John first told me, I thought it was another John Norman wind-up. But apparently, it was true. I absolutely love little Justice. I think he's a standout. And if that's what he wants, I was happy to make his day. So Rach and I spent Monday morning in Norwich. We went to about 5 different party shops. I did the best I could. I got a beard, I got hair, I got a long white undergarment, and I got a red robe on top. Would you like to see it? The finished product. Yeah, here we are. I think we got, there we go. The good news is Justice was happy. Everyone else was laughing at me, but I didn't care. John and Chantel have put a smile on my face for many years, and so I did my bit. Thank you. I think it deserves a round of applause, actually. Now, after I'd done that and got the picture with Justice, I went back upstairs to get changed. And Joy and Nathan's son, I don't know whether it is Judah here. There he is, little champion. He followed me up the stairs. Now, that was slightly weird, but I'm going up the stairs, and he's like staring at me. And when I got to the top, I kind of looked at him, and it's like this awkward little standoff. He's just staring at me. And so I took my wig off, and Judah looked at me, and he said, "I knew it. I knew you're not the real Jesus." What a legend. Is that right, Judah? That's exactly what he said to me. I meet so many people who tell me they don't believe in Jesus. When I ask them why they don't, I'm convinced it's for this reason. It's not the real Jesus that they've been presented with. Is it possible that we haven't shown people the real Jesus? I remember growing up in Sunday school, we got a picture of, I call him Blonde Jesus. You ever seen Blonde Jesus in Sunday school? He'll have to you, there he is. I mean, the lads, Jesus is a Middle Eastern Jew, but now he looks like a Swedish superstar. Got news for you, it's not the real Jesus. So tonight we're going to look again and see if we can see something of the real Jesus. We're going to look through the lens of one man who met him and was originally very skeptical of him, got to know him, believed in him, in fact, believed in him so much, he laid down his life for him. We're going to look at four scenes from the journey, four different encounters between Jesus and this guy called Simon Peter. His first encounter is in John 1, verse 40. It says, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew. And he was Simon Peter's brother. Now, Andrew was kind of the spiritual one. He's the seeker. He's been looking out. He's a religious one, if you like. But you get the feeling that Simon Peter is very different. He's not interested. He's not looking. And that's probably why when Andrew meets Jesus, he says, hey, Jesus, I've got to introduce you to my brother because he's probably a bit rough around the edges. Simon Peter is totally different to Andrew. And so when Andrew comes and tells Simon Peter, you can imagine Simon Peter rolling his eyes. Oh, here we go again. And reluctantly, he is dragged along to see Jesus. Maybe some of you have been dragged here tonight. You've not been looking for Jesus. And it says in verse 42, and Andrew brought Simon Peter to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, Jesus said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah, but you shall be called Cephas, which means a stone. You are Simon, the son of Jonah. Who is Jonah? He's the guy that God said, go this way. And which way does Jonah go? That way. He runs from him. You're Simon, the son of Jonah. So I call this scene running. Because Simon Peter was running from God. Simon Peter was never looking for Jesus, but friend, that doesn't mean Jesus isn't looking for you. And when Jesus sees him, he says, this is who you are, son of Jonah, but this is who you will be. Is anyone grateful that Jesus isn't disappointed with who we are? Thank God he is looking at who we can be and he's taking us and using us. He's got an amazing plan for your life. So that was scene one. Are you ready for scene two? The next time Simon Peter meets Jesus is in Luke chapter 5. We'll call this scene Revelation. Whoa, the moment when Simon discovers who Jesus really is. It's by the Sea of Galilee. Simon Peter is fishing. That's his business. It's what he does. He's a professional, but he's not that good because every time you read about him going fishing, he never catches anything. That's a bit like me on the River Wensum. But Jesus comes along and he asks if he can borrow Simon's boat. Yet again, at this point, Peter has no interest in Jesus. But yet again, Jesus shows that he's interested in Peter. He's interested in his everyday life. And so he steps into the boat, pushes out a few yards from the shore, and hundreds of people gather to listen to Jesus preaching from the boat. When I look at Jesus' life, I'm so amazed because everywhere he goes, the crowds follow him. He is so magnetic, so attractive. How come the church has taken Jesus, who is so attractive, and religion has made him so repulsive? It's because it's not the real Jesus. And when Jesus has finished preaching, he says to Peter, hey, Peter, why don't you go out there, go fishing again, you and your mates, and let down your nets and see what you catch. And Peter's like, hey, wait a minute. We've been out all night long. We caught zip. And you are, what was Jesus' profession? He was a carpenter. So he's a carpenter telling a professional fisherman how to fish. And we all know you don't fish in the middle of the day. You fish at night when the fish can't see the nets. And so Peter's like, all right. Brother reckons you're a great teacher, so if that's what you say, I don't think I'm going to catch anything, but come on, boys, let's go fishing. They throw the nets over. Peter's thinking, oh, here we go. We're not going to, come on, boys, pull them in. Oh, we'll never catch anything. What was he thinking? The nets must be caught. Come on, boys, pull. It's stuck. As they start to pull in the nets are absolutely filled. Peter realizes this isn't just another ordinary man. And here's what he does. The Bible says, he falls to his knees. He says, Jesus, just leave me. I'm not like Andrew. I'm a sinful man. And every one of us, we come to a stage in our lives where we realize just how good Jesus is and how much we have failed him and let him down. But who's grateful that no matter what we've done, he accepts us, he loves us, and he always finds a way back for us. I love that story. The story goes on and talks about how Peter comes to Jesus and he starts to follow him. To follow him. It's a big word in the Bible. So I wonder, Joseph, if you can just jump up here. If you're in here and you're new to church and you wonder what a Christian is, it's quite simply this. We're just going to imagine this is Jesus, all right? So it's not hard because he's a good man. Just walk across there. I'm a Christian. Do you know what a Christian? Just walk slower. Even though you can walk as fast as you want, Jesus, but I'm trying to follow him. And for 3 years, you can stop now. For 3 years, all that Peter does is just follows Jesus. Because that's what it means to be a Christian. And for 3 years, he follows this man called Jesus. Give Joseph a round of applause as he goes back. Say, what is a Christian? We're followers. We're students. We're learners. We're not there yet. We don't score 100% on every test. We mess it up, and sometimes we stuff up. And it breaks my heart when I meet people who aren't Christians or Christians who get disillusioned because they've seen one of Jesus' followers do something nuts, and they get disillusioned, and they stop following Jesus because of his followers. Can I just say on behalf of Jesus, I am so sorry. Don't put your faith in his followers. You put your faith in Jesus because he'll never let you down. He'll never fail you or forsake you. You know what? When little Judah looked at me, he realized I'm not the real Jesus. I tried my best, but the truth is I'm not. And if your faith is in me, or John or Chantel, we'll let you down. We're trying not to, but we will. Got to make sure your faith is in Jesus. And so Peter follows him for 2 years. And I love that. And then one day, Jesus is talking to the boys, the 12 disciples. He says, hey, you lot, disciples. You've been with me a while now, a couple of years. Who do you think that I am? And they come up with various answers. And for once, Peter gets it right. He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I love that. I love that he actually got it right. How good is that? He sees who Jesus really is. And in Matthew 16, Jesus says this, my Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on the secret of who I really am. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. I love that. Because when you find the real Jesus, when you find who he really is, do you know the first thing that he does is he tells you who you really are. Some of you, your problem in life is you've believed what your parents said you were. You believed what teachers said you were. But you need to listen to who Jesus says you really are. I love that. You were put on this earth for an incredible purpose. And you only find that purpose in Jesus. So now we come to the third scene. Simon Peter follows Jesus for 3 years. He sees all the amazing things Jesus does. He helps people, loves people, heals people, accepts people. And Jesus gathers his followers and they celebrate communion together. And Jesus lets them know he's about to choose to die for his followers. And Simon Peter, he is ticked. In Matthew 26, verse 33, it says, Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me, not once, not twice, three times." And Peter declares, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." A few hours later, Jesus is arrested and taken away. He is tried by the highest courts, Jewish courts and Roman courts. They take him away, they spit on him, strip him, and strike him with their fists. He's tied to a post and whipped 39 times. And all of the disciples leave him except Peter. He follows, but the Bible says at a distance. Have you ever done that? Ever done that? You weren't designed to follow Jesus at a distance. You were designed to be in relationship with him. Emily, can I borrow your phone a second? So I'm not going to do a John Norman and text people. But those of you that have Instagram, actually John Norman showed me this. On Instagram, you know how you can follow people. You'll also, because that's what a Christian is, we're a follower. But you can also unfollow people. Now, most people know that. But I didn't know that, and I think if we've got the picture on the screen, there's other options in there. All right? So this is a very special human being in our church, Mark Hollinger. Let's have a look at his bio. Married to Sharon. Love her. Oh, that's good. Blessed with two most amazing children. Yeah, love them. Follower of Jesus big time. Come on, let's give it up for Mark Holly. What a good man. And I follow Mark. That's why it says following. There's a couple of things I learned. As well as follow and unfollow, you can actually mute people. Did you know that? Now, when you mute someone, you stop following them, but they don't know it. Hey, it's brilliant. So I reduced down from about 250 people to about 150, and they didn't know. Sometimes it's not that we unfollow Jesus. We just mute him. We're no longer listening to him. And everyone around thinks we're still following. We're still in church. We're still going through the motions. We no longer have ears to hear. You know, there's another one. Oh, it says add to closed friends list. I think I need to do that for Mark Holly. But you know what? You need to do it with Jesus. In fact, he needs to be the number one friend. Because if you unfollow Jesus or if you follow at a distance, it always leads to trouble. So here's Jesus literally giving his whole life, stripped, whipped, beaten. At the same time, Peter is in the courtyard looking on. And a big burly centurion comes to him. No, it wasn't. A servant girl. And she says, "Weren't you with Jesus?" I mean, what a contrast. There's big burly Roman soldiers knocking the living daylights out of Jesus, and he's taking it. And a servant girl. says, weren't you with Jesus? He says, nah, not me. What a contrast. The same guy who a few hours earlier says, I'll never deny you, Jesus. Doesn't have the backbone to confess him in front of a servant girl. And they take Jesus a few hours later and he goes to a cross. The most cruel form of torture invented by humanity. And his body is broken and his blood is shed. Because he really loves people. You want to know the real Jesus? You look at the cross and what he did for you. But the good news is that the story doesn't end there. Because 3 days later, Mary, Jesus' mom, and Mary Magdalene, they go to the tomb. They go to take care of his dead body. They find he's not there. Because how many know he is risen? I said he is risen. He's alive. I love that. And here's what he says. He relays a message to an angel. And the angel, when they meet Mary and Mary, they say, go, tell the disciples, listen to this, and Peter, that he's going before you into Galilee. And there you will see him as he said it to you. Isn't that amazing? Jesus has just defeated death and hell. He's resurrected. And who is the one person he's thinking of? He didn't say, go tell the disciples and James, he's risen. He didn't say, go and tell the disciples and John, he is risen. No, he says, go tell the disciples and Peter that I'm risen. Because Peter needed reassurance. He needed to be restored. He needed to know that Jesus still loves him. That's the real Jesus. No matter what you've done, no matter how much you've hurt him, he's still there for you. He still loves you. Maybe someone here needs to hear this. It doesn't matter what you've done. You may have rejected him, but friend, he has not rejected you. You got to make sure you don't see Jesus through the lens of your own failure, your own shame, your own sense of worthlessness. 1998, I was in Flagstaff, Arizona. Weren't we, John? We were at the Grand Canyon. I remember it for a number of reasons. Me and Rachel actually shared a room with John and Ben. I don't know what on earth we were thinking. I remember looking out. There's a Crown Plaza hotel looking down into a jacuzzi. And there's John and Ben and a bunch of cheerleaders all talking to these two, practicing their English vocabulary. Is that right, John? True story. So we had quite an adventure in Flagstaff. It's all right. He wasn't married. He was very young at the time. He was just ministering, presenting Jesus to these lovely girls. And when we're in Flagstaff, we came across this observatory, like this huge thing up high on this massive telescope. And it was built by a guy called Percival Lowell. He was a world-famous astronomer. And for 15 years, from 1895 to 1910, he looked through this telescope and he studied Mars. He wrote 3 books in this period, which caused a stir across the whole world. Because Percival Lowell perceived and described in great detail non-natural features on the surface of Mars, which were evidence of extraterrestrial life. Lowell identified a series of Martian canals which zigzagged across the surface of Mars. And Lowell spent years of his life mapping these canals. That's Lowell, and let's have a look at the Martian canals as he drew them. These were his images of what was going on in Mars, and they must have been made by somebody, he said. The existence of the canals were hotly disputed by the invention of a new telescope more powerful in 1909. And his theories were finally disproved in the 1960s when NASA's Mariner mission landed on Mars, photographed it, and there were no Martian canals. So what were those canals that he thought he'd identified? Some thought it was an optical illusion. Some thought it was natural erosion. But most thought that as Percival Lowell stared through the telescope intently, he was seeing the red veins in his own eyes projected on to Mars. I wonder how often we look at things, or we look at Jesus, and we project onto him the things that we're seeing, instead of seeing the real Jesus. Don't look at Jesus through the lens of what the church said. Don't look at Jesus through the lens of what your parents said. You've got to look at the real Jesus. And you find that out through what the Word says. Maybe it's time to look again and see the real Jesus. So far, we have looked at three scenes in Peter's life. The last one was rejection. The first was running from Jesus. The second was a revelation of Jesus. And the third was his rejection of Jesus. But there's one more encounter between Jesus and Peter. Is anyone glad he doesn't leave us in our guilt and shame? In John 21, verse 1, it says this. It says, after this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. I love that. Jesus revealed himself again. It's as if every time Peter manages to stuff it up, Jesus won't give up on him. And he won't give up on you, friend. He's going to keep revealing himself. He may have revealed himself to you 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, but he's not put off by what you do or don't do, how good you are, how good you're not. He will keep revealing himself. You didn't initiate it. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. He came after you. Even when you're not looking for him, he's looking out for you. That's what he does. Peter has run from him, followed him from a distance, rejected him, but Jesus keeps revealing himself. Verse 3, Simon Peter. He's discouraged, he's rejected Jesus, he's disillusioned, and he says to his mates, I'm going fishing. They said, we're coming with you. So they went out and got back into the boat. And that night, they caught rubbish fishermen. Maybe it's not just that he was a rubbish fisherman. Maybe it's that when you choose to go back to things that God has called you to leave, it's never fruitful. It's never satisfying. Don't go back to the things that he's called you out of. Verse 4, as morning was breaking, Jesus came and stood on the beach. However, the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. This time it's the real Jesus. He's there for you, friend, even when you don't know it. I remember the first time he ever spoke to me. I wasn't a Christian. I wouldn't become a Christian for a couple of years. I was about 10. For some silly reason, I got it into my head that my parents didn't love me and I needed to run away. I think most of us think that. My parents were awesome. They're the greatest parents ever. But for some reason, this day, I thought, I need to run away, get away from this lot. They dragged me to the Methodist church that Sunday morning. I was only 10 years old. And the preacher talked about not ever running away from home. And I remember my mouth hung open and God spoke to me. That's before I was ever a Christian. Some of you, it's not an accident that you're here. You may not even want to be here, but he's looking out for you. He's drawing you in. He wants to have a relationship with you, and he'll do anything that he can. And so Jesus, you must have loved this. It's kind of watching the boys fishing. They've caught nothing. They're discouraged. In verse 5, so Jesus says to them as they're out there, boys, do you have any fish? They answered, no. Look what Jesus says to them. Cast your net on the other side of the boat and you'll find some. Now you would have thought at this point that it clicked on. Should have called the disciples the dipsticks, but we don't. You'd have thought the fact that he even said that, they would have clicked on, but they still haven't realized. So what do? They throw the nets in. They're thinking, who is this guy telling us what to do? And they start to pull it in. Oh, my word. And then they realize this happened to us before. That guy on the shot, it must be Jesus. And so Peter, I love it. He puts on his robe, he dives in the water, and he swims to Jesus. And they're reunited. I call this return. The disciples have breakfast together and Jesus cooks for them because he's always serving. He's always caring for you. And they're all together and they're probably reminiscing about the old days, but there's one more conversation that needs to be had. The conversation between Jesus and Peter. Peter's probably feeling a bit awkward. Wouldn't you if that was you? If you'd let him down that badly? And then the story changes. And Peter and Jesus are standing alone. You can read it in John 21. And Jesus asks a simple question. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, of course, Lord. You know I love you. Then he asks it a second time. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Does it ever irritate you when someone asks you the same question multiple times? Sometimes my wife does that, and I have to be, you know, But a third time, Jesus, same question. Do you love me? Why do you think he asks him three times? Because three times, Henry, he denied him. And three times, Jesus forgives him. It's a story about knowing. Lord, you know I love you. Young Judah, after he followed me up the stairs, he looked at me, he said, I knew you weren't the real Jesus. You know, every one of us longs to know the real Jesus. And by the side of Lake Galilee, Peter gets to know, as the team come, the real Jesus. He gets to know just how much Jesus loves him. He gets to know that no matter what he's done, Jesus will always be there for him. And then, John 20, verse 19, one more time, Jesus says, follow me. Can I suggest to you the Christian life, if we boil it down, if we make it really simple, it's three things we've all got to do. Number one, you've got to know him. Number two, you've got to love him. Number three, you've got to follow him. And he's the way it works. Once you get to know him, you can't help but love him. And once you love him, you can't help but follow him. All we've got to do is get to know the real Jesus. Know him, love him, follow him. What do you do when you stuff up? Allow him to forgive you. The more you know him, the more you'll love him, the more you'll want to follow him. So let's look at those four scenes that I put up earlier: running, revelation, rejection, and return. Friend, I wonder where you're at. Maybe you're here and you've never known God. You don't want to know God. You don't even want to be here, or you don't want to be listening to me on a podcast somewhere. But friend, you may be running from Him, but He's running towards you. Number two, revelation. Maybe you came to the wonder, and your eyes were opened. You didn't know church was like this. You didn't think Jesus would be like this. You sit in the worship, and you think, man, this is so amazing. I just want to cry. That's a revelation of Jesus, of His presence. Maybe you're hearing it. For you, the best word is rejection. You know you've failed Him. You've done something. You've grown distant from Him. Friend, from the bottom of my heart, please know, no matter what you've done, He still loves you. He's still got a plan for you. You may have unfollowed Him. You may have Him on mute, but He still wants to be in relationship with you, and He's there for you. The last word is return. Return. It's time to come back to the real Jesus. The real Jesus. I'd love to say a prayer. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. I'm going to ask that nobody leaves the room just for the next moment. If you can just tune in on this next couple of moments, because it's really important. Friend, I've, to the best of my ability, tried to reveal the real Jesus. He's incredible. I wonder where you're at tonight in your relationship with Him. Maybe you've been running from Him. Tonight you need to come home. Maybe you've rejected Him. You once followed Him, but if you're really honest, you know you've let Him down. I've got good news for you, friend. You can return. He still loves you. He's looking out for you. And if you will just open your heart, He'll come in. Because the more you get to know Him, the more you love Him, and the easier it is to follow Him. Don't mute Him. Don't follow at a distance. He wants to be in the center of your heart. And I'd love to pray for anybody who, if you're honest, you've never received Jesus, never made that decision to say, Jesus, would you come into my life? You don't understand everything, but you know tonight that He's real. You need to take that step of faith. Say, Steve, would you pray for me? We do this in every one of our services. We're all going to pray together. Friend, if you've never made that decision, then tonight you can. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. Or maybe you once followed Him. Right now, you feel so far away from Him. You follow Him at a distance. You've muted Him. But tonight, it's time to return and come back. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes. We'd love to pray for you to get right with God. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you want to get right with God, I'm going to ask you to courageously put up your hand, and then we're going to pray for you all across this room, from the front to the back. Whether this is the first time or tonight, you're coming home. When I count to three, you raise your hand. Are you ready? God loves you, friend. Come on. One, two, three. That's it. Lift it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Beautiful. I love that. I love that. Thank you, sweetheart. He loves you so much. Here's what we're going to do. So repeat after me this prayer. Everyone praying it, and then we're going to worship together for a moment. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I need you. Would you come into my heart? I want to live your way.
Live in your way.
With your help and strength. Sorry for my failures. Know that I need you. Would you come in? I make you my Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to come up in just a moment, talk to you for a couple, but I think we should just sing a song. Come on, why don't we worship Jesus? Is anyone deeply grateful for God's incredible love? Come on, why don't we thank Him? I love that song. He loves you so much. Those of you that raised your hand, hopefully one of our team will have seen your hand and they'll come and talk to you. But if not, I know in moments like that, often there's people that pray the prayer from their heart. Friend, God sees the hand, but He also sees the heart. And so what we'd love to do is a couple of things. We'd love to give you a gift. It's a Bible. It talks about how much Jesus loved you. Every scripture I talked about tonight was in this. And that's our gift to you. Even if you've already got a Bible, get one. So as you leave, the team will be out there and they've given up their time to be here to give you one. So please just go up and say, hey, I prayed that prayer. Could I have a Bible? They would love nothing more than to give you one. We just want to help you. You know, the other thing you can do is keep coming back to church. Come back next week. Just make that something you do so you can draw close to Him. And lastly, Alpha. We start this thing, you'll hear about it in a moment, called the Alpha Course. Listen, if you've made this decision in the last 6 months or a year, or even if you've not yet made it, the Alpha Course is a great place for you to find out and ask questions. It's a safe, friendly environment. So come on, church, one more time. Let's congratulate all of those people.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.